Hey folks, how's it going? MC's for the Edge, up in the house. What up? How's it going? I have not yet been able to come up with, and Johnny Fuente has not provided one for me yet, unfortunately, some kind of cool DC thing to play after the DC intro. I don't think the DC has like an animated film sort of, I don't know, thing I can play, kind of like the MCU thing, but we'll work on that. Folks, excellent DC animated film to review tonight. DC animated film, what would this be, our fifth? Fifth? Superman, Public Enemy. Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. That is the correct, I believe, allotment of it. And I believe the sequel is Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, if I'm correct. Right, Johnny? Yep. There you go. And, of course, that's a great time to point out, before we launch into the review, that is Johnny Fuente, right? Of many different titled podcasts and shows, and which I'll allow him to really quick drop. But this is, of course, Cybernetic Shark, veteran content creator, veteran YouTuber. Sometime soon to be, when we reach a point of veteran status, a veteran co-host, an original member of the MC Bleeding Edge. And I am, of course, Jeff S., a.k.a. True Knowledge, humbled to be the co-host of the MC Bleeding Edge. Very humbled. I am very humbled to have Johnny Fuente back on the panel. To support me and make me look good when I don't know about shit. Johnny, what up, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Can't wait to dive into one of my favorite DC animated films.
Ah, gotta love it, folks. Gotta love it when people come on and they love coming on and reviewing something that we're doing, man. It's always good. Gotta love it. Gotta love that incitement. Johnny Fuente, please, sir, real quick, initial quick 30-second plug. Johnny Fuente podcast is called what?
It is called Fuente Chat with Johnny Fuente. We talk about everything and anything nerd news.
There you go. I'm glad you did it because I was going to say Fuente Talk. So there you go. Anyways, folks, please follow Johnny Fuente. We will do actual professionally done plugs at the end of the show. Real quick intro for us. Very simply, the MCU's Bleeding Edge is live Wednesday nights and Friday nights at 9:35 p.m. Eastern, 6:35 p.m. Pacific. On Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Beyond that, ring that bell, baby. Okay? The subscribers will come. We know that. We like the subscriptions. But ring that bell so you know when we're live. And you can come in and you can check out the show. Right? Come see what we do. I think you'll like it. And you'll want to subscribe at that point. Like this shit. All right? We appreciate all you out there and whatnot. DC fandom, you know, Marvel fandom, She-Hulk fandom, even you people. Good for you. Let's get after it. Let's do it, baby. Let's get this bitch. There you go, Cyber. You like that? I'm working on that quick intro, dude. Cyber's getting tired of my 27-minute intros.
Never said that.
Anyways, I make Cyber out to be this horrible guy, man. It's funny. Folks, this is a good-ass film. It's very short. 1 hour and 5 minutes, right? And that's compact, baby. Talk about 1 hour and 5 minutes. I saw that and I'm like, holy crap, that's even short for a DC animated film. And as usual, I noticed and pointed out the last time I moderated one of these, after Cyber's last one, that they're just so concise. Am I off, Cyber?
Huh?
Oh, no, I'm good. No, they're so compact. They're so, like, well done. They're so concise and purposeful. And they pack so much into such a short amount of time, 1 hour and 15, 1 hour and 20 minutes, right, Johnny? It's all so much they throw at you, but it's all fluid. It's all well done. It's all well presented. Nothing's choppy or all over the place. I don't know if this is just an animated film thing where they're able to do this very well in the animated form, and that's a distinct difference compared to like live action maybe. I don't know. If this is DC Animated Studios, I don't know yet. But I just keep noticing this trend that it's like, damn, they do a really great job of just great storytelling. Great writing and just great direction. Overall, well production on all of them. This one, as usual, they just come right at you. There's no origin story stuff. There's no really precept to anything and whatnot. They expect you to come in knowing basically who you're going to get, what's going on with the characters in the movie. At least in this one, right? It's exactly kind of what I expected from a Superman-Batman combo. I'd never seen one of these before. Together, other than Batman v Superman from Snyder, right? We're not going to go into that. But, you know, this is my first one like this, and I'm thinking, first question for you guys. Johnny Fuente, would you think to yourself right off the bat of the combination of Superman and Batman together in a film before the film I just mentioned? Okay, what does that do for you? Is that an automatic like, oh shit, yeah, this has got to be good? Like,
I mean, yeah, you have the most the two of the iconic duos, and before this movie, they were in they were of course cameos, not cameos, but they had their feature in the Batman Superman TV show. You had Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. So you already had them in a bunch of other media before, and just them being in a movie together was pretty cool.
Yeah, most definitely. And Cybernetic Shark, had you seen this movie before reviewing it?
No, I have not seen it before. No.
Okay, so just in this spot then, leading into this, what were your thoughts when you thought yourself with the title? Like, what were you thinking you were going to get?
Honestly, going into it, I was thinking that it was going to be a lot more about, you know, Superman, Batman, and like a single villain. I didn't think it was going to be about pretty much every single DC character you could think of. And so I thought that, you know, one of these characters or both of these characters were going to become like public enemy for some reason, and they would have to prove that they're not public enemies. And I mean, pretty much it was similar to that, but at a way better scale.
Yes, most definitely. And now, and just to be clear, folks, as the animated film begins, we're quickly basically, you know, I think this is almost kind of a DC trope in a way. And Johnny, you can tell me if I'm correct or not and everything. They deliver things right off the bat by basically using the media, using the news. Very classic, right? You know, like using the actual news media to sort of explain, not explain, but kind of just give us an impression of where things are at. As opposed to a character, as opposed to, what you know, Batman or Superman, they give us the actual, like, you know, a broadcast of the local news telling us what's, you know, what the gist is. And the gist basically is the American economy is in the toilet. It's really fucking bad to the point where they actually elect Lex Luthor as president. I'm not sure if he's responsible for that economic collapse or whatever, whatnot. I didn't get anything from that alluding in that direction. Maybe he did deliberately cause that. I have no idea. Either way, he somehow manages to immediately just like reverse that trend completely, blows it away with the economy, right? Just smashes it. And, you know, at that point, he's basically running the show. Like, you know, calling some real shots. So, you know, he assembles his own team. And basically, I guess that's where the public enemies part comes in. Because right there, right from jump, Batman and Superman ain't down for all that. They ain't trying to be a part of that team. I don't know if they're even asked, but they ain't down with them. You know, and the team essentially is, and I thought this was great. It's actually some really great characters that I don't think we've even seen, really, for the most part, even in any of these DC animated films. In Captain Atom, Katana, Black Lightning, who I know nothing about, I won't lie. Power Girl, I know about. Starfire. Great seeing Starfire in there. I didn't even realize, Johnny, no idea that I didn't even think that any of those characters would even be in these films. So that kind of shocked me, to tell you the truth. I thought she was, isn't she part of the Teen Titans?
Yeah, but they had so many characters that they maybe half of them didn't even speak.
Yeah, that's true. Major Force. Very unique DC character to me, right? And then you've got, you know, again, Superman and Batman kind of from jump. They're kind of just like, nah, you know, we know Lex Luthor. We ain't okay with this. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to take orders from him. I believe, I understand, that was the gist of it, right? That's their team. That's the squad. And essentially, right from jump, you know, we get this introduction. We understand that Luthor's president, which is like a real, if you don't know the stuff, the lore, that you don't know the TV shows like Johnny does, for me, that's like a wow moment. I'm like, holy crap. Like, seriously? Luthor's the president. Okay, there you go. A la, like, Thunderbolt Ross becoming president in Captain America 4, in a way. Except this guy's an actual villain. So, love it. I think this is our second DC animated film with Luthor in it, if I remember correctly. And he's, you know, he's Lex Luthor, as usual. Ruthless as fuck, right? You know, evil as shit. And always freaking looking to take advantage of everything that fucking happens about for him, right? And his vendetta against Superman that just never disappears ever. Now, there's a very, very special DC character in this also that I think was awesome. And she's getting her own series in the Gun Saffron new DCU, right? And who am I talking about, Cyber? Johnny, who am I talking about?
I have no idea.
I got no idea.
She's being played by Viola Davis currently. She's in the Suicide Squad films.
You're talking about
Harley Quinn?
No.
No, he's talking about Waller. Are they making a
Waller? Waller! You had to make it a Waller TV series.
I must have missed that.
It's a spinoff to what's his name?
I thought you meant the Creature Commandos.
No, they're doing a direct spinoff from I'm sorry, Cyber, from what's his name? Peacemaker. Right into Waller. And the title of the show is Waller. So there you go, Johnny. We illuminated some shit for you, baby. It's going to be a good series. Okay. I'm sure. I love Waller. She's great. So Waller's there. And I'm gonna kind of, you know, let you guys go right off out the intro. But Waller comes right in. We get our first scene with actual, like, personally, not on the TV screen talking to the American people, but real Lex Luthor. Waller pops in. And now this is very – I thought this was interesting – of course, there's a huge meteorite coming to destroy the Earth. And what's it made of? Kryptonite. There you go. Thankfully, folks, there is no meteor kryptonite coming to Earth tonight that I know of. So we don't have to worry about that. But in the film, they do have to worry about it. Obviously, that would not be good for Superman. Either way, that's coming to Earth, right? And what's Luthor's reaction? Very typically for Luthor, it's, let's just let it hit us anyway. Or some shit, you know, like something along that line. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it. You know, we can stop it, but why bother? So, whatever. Essentially, Waller's great in this because she's loyal to the president. I mean, it's her role to do that. Just like many of the superheroes, you have to understand, if you never saw this film, folks, they're loyal to their country. They're loyal to their president, a lot of these characters. Some of them end up, you know, going against him, you know, Luthor, but they're doing their jobs. They're following their commander in chief, and they believe firmly that they're doing the right thing, and following his orders with Luthor. So when there's later on conflict with Supes and Batman, some of them don't have a choice, I guess. But basically, guys, with the intro, before we even go any further than the fact that we know we have the meteor coming, we know Waller's in there. She's kind of already, you can tell from jump, a little bit taken aback by Luthor, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can tell right off the bat she's kind of hesitant, right? Even though she's a little shady, you know what I'm saying? And like, and pretty ruthless, which I thought that was a great combination of them two together. Johnny, what'd you think of the intro? You know, we don't see much. We don't, you know, we haven't, at that point, we really haven't even gotten into Superman and Batman that yet. What'd you think of just the way, if you could go back to even maybe the first time you saw this, how they presented this intro to us?
Well, it was very interesting, especially seeing Waller being, I want to say, what is she, the Secretary of Defense?
I believe so, yes.
Very interesting to see that, especially her openly working together with the president, even Luthor, considering that she's usually one for the shadows. And, of course, you had everything introduced with Superman knowing being questioned by his squad, by Luthor's squad, yep, about, hey, how come you don't join us and all that stuff. So it's pretty interesting how they just hit the ground running. Like you said before, if you didn't know anything about any of the characters, you're going to be left confused because they don't bring any time to explain anything.
Yes, and I want to just point out, Johnny, please feel free to expand, but Luthor basically decides he doesn't want superheroes involved with the meteor. He doesn't want to call on Supes. He doesn't want to call on anybody
He doesn't want to call on outside superheroes. If yes, they work for the government, then he is fine by that. But he doesn't want to call outside superheroes.
And at that point, does he really have anybody in his ranks that would even be able to stop that thing?
No. I mean, technically, Shazam should have been able to stop it, but that's about it. I mean, no one... Yeah, Captain Atom, Major Force. I mean, technically, maybe no, Power Girl would have been. Yeah, no, Shazam was the only person.
Yeah, so there you go. So I mean, you know, again, and you're right. We do get, you know, in this intro, we do get, you know, a little bit of back and forth between the new team and Batman and Superman, where they are kind of just like, hey, you guys don't want to join up, and they're like, no, hell no, you know, I'm not working for Luthor. So you're right, there is a little bit of that. But Cyber. Basically, right before we get to the point where Luthor asked for the meeting with Superman, right? And we go into that kind of deal. What do you got? What'd you get out of that and whatnot? Were you shocked and surprised to start off with finding out that Luthor was fucking president?
Going into it, I was kind of like, when they said that he was becoming president, I was kind of cracking up going, wow, this is a very political Superman and Batman film. Having him become president, I was kind of cracking up like, wow, like this is an interesting little arc here. And I liked it. I thought that it was a cool little arc and I enjoyed it. I was not shocked because in DC or any animated film or, you know, DC world, anything can happen. So this, it's not really shocking, but at the same time, it's kind of like, whoa, like that's interesting. And the whole beginning intro kind of is really well done. I really like the intro music. I like the credit screen. I thought it looked really good. And I thought it was a very well done kind of intro there. Really enjoyed it a lot. And it was a very interesting way of really getting, you know, to know Luthor in this film too as well.
Pardon me, folks, I'm dying over here. Telling you, every time I buy a new vape, man, it just the first couple of times I hit it just kills me. I'm sure you enjoy watching me like that, Cyber.
It was so much fun.
No, I guess for me, I just assumed, I don't know if you did, Johnny. Oh, look who's here. No way. You gotta be kidding me. Oh my god, look who came to save the day.
Well, you know, at least for a short time. I got server work going on, but I got about a 10-15 minute window here. So
there you go.
Drive by.
Oh, I got you. Oh, I got you.
Talking about one of the more classic Superman Batman teams.
Ah, so I you got you. So you're just using us to be able to just like take a break and talk about some dope shit. Can you hear me?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I'm here. Yeah. No. It. You know. It's Superman Batman. It's based off the classic Ed McGuinness comic. You know, you got to at least throw some thoughts in there about it.
There you go. Johnny, you met Kyle before, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Folks, Kyle is here to rescue us because we lost Ben, our buddy Ben, before the show. His daughter's sick. And I called Kyle up like a little bitch crying and begging him to come on for a couple of minutes and whatnot just to join us and help out. And here he is. Kyle,
he was crying and begging so much he offered things, and I just it was flattering, but I just can't go there, Jeff.
No, it was beyond it was beyond Kyle's sexual capabilities and like whatnot, the stuff I was offering. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Everybody has their you know, everyone is allowed to have their preferences, folks. But no, and obviously, I think mine are very clear. There you go. Anyways, folks, you know, sorry, folks, don't expect the Batman logo with me. No, it's great to see you, Kyle. Kyle, where we were at was basically, I was asking, you know, these guys was, if you could go back to, the last time you the first time maybe you watched this film, I was about to say before you came on that I was kind of shocked. I figured when it was Superman and Batman together in their first DC animated film for me, having not watched the TV series, like Johnny was mentioning before, not having that kind of premise set up, I just assumed Luthor wouldn't be involved. I'm like, why would they combine Batman and Superman and have Luthor involved in that?
This is the aspect of, this is when DC Animated was changing some things up, and they were basing trying to pull some more stuff from the comics. And obviously, this was the classic Superman Batman comic that they started, and the first storyline was done by Ed McGuinness, and it was this incredible storyline of Superman. Batman teaming up and then basically being turned into villains, being hunted by Luthor and having these other heroes actually fighting them. But so I kind of came in kind of knowing what to expect here. And I actually really feel like they did a phenomenal job with translating the comic to the animated film in this case.
Most definitely. Oh, no, you noticed it too? Oh, geez. Facebook user. I love calling people Facebook user, don't you, Cyber? It's great. Is that wonderful, Johnny? I love it. Facebook user. It rolls right off the tongue. Love it. Well, eventually, somehow, I don't know why it's doing this, but eventually it will show your name. I don't know if it's you, Joss, or who the hell you are. It's like this fucking guessing game every time this happens. But yes, I heard a farting sound too. I'm just going to go ahead and take responsibility for it myself. Because I'm the man. So there you go. Oh, it's you, Joss? Oh, that definitely couldn't have been you farting. Women don't fart. There you go. See, I should already know. What's up, Joss? How you doing, hon? You guys don't poop either, right? But no. That and I like that. I do. But honestly, Kyle, you get where I'm going, though. For my premise, not having as much background knowledge, maybe you or Johnny, I just didn't expect it just because I'm like, oh, shit. Well, if they're going to use Luther, I figured they'd have it in a vehicle that would be directly tied to, to Supes with him.
I think though, with Luther, because of the relationship he has with Bruce in a context with a little bit of competition with Bruce Wayne and in the industry thing and trying to be business, it makes sense to have Luther be the villain in this case, because I mean, that's the thing with Luthor. He's always going to be a major villain, and in the aspect of this too, at the time and what he is in the storyline, he represents the ultimate threat to Superman and Batman in this storyline. And I think what's great with Luthor is too is the fact that you have a game when you can use Luthor and having him play a game of wits against Superman. It's one thing because Superman can always conquer with his powers, but when he's playing that same game of wits with Batman, it really becomes a lot more interesting and a lot more on the edge of your seat, because then you have these two great minds going against each other. And I think that makes Luthor even more of an intriguing villain to Batman than he is to even to Superman.
No, Johnny, and I'll go to you too quick. When I do these DC animated reviews and some of these reviews lately, I'm trying to change things up and try to do some different styles. So don't feel like you can't go forward with your, if you always want to, when I ask you questions, if you want to go further into the film, don't hold back. Just let loose. All right. You can go as far as you want. I don't care. It's not going to ruin my shit. I'll just adjust my questions as I go. So at that point, the banter between them, for me, was probably one of the best parts of the film. It was almost better than some of the action scenes, was their banter. And so, Johnny, you tell me. That's my individual opinion. It's just me. We're all different. We all take something different from these movies, probably enjoy certain aspects together, and then some we don't, maybe, like certain things. Johnny, did the banter do – you'd seen it before, right? But, I mean – I hadn't seen it before, really, like that, presented to me like that. So from that perspective, that's why it's great to have this different kind of dichotomy on the show where, some of us maybe have a little less experience with this stuff than you do or Kyle does. Or Cyber might – I think Cyber even knows more about DC than I do. So at that point, Johnny, did the banter do a lot for you between Batman and Superman?
It was really good. I mean, they basically took a lot of the banter from the comics pages. And it was really fun to see because, I mean, this has already been an established Superman and Batman. They've already faced a bunch of villains. One of my favorite banters was when they were in the sewer and they were talking about like the villains they faced. Like, oh, how come the good bad guys never die? And like Bruce is like, what the heck is a good bad guy and stuff like that. It was really great and already established. I did like how everybody already knew each other. It wasn't like, oh, who is this guy or who's this guy? I mean, it wasn't until the end when you're looking at I think they called him the second toy man or whatever, with the kid, when he basically had those big machines and stuff like that. But yeah, no, the banter was really good. One thing I will say is the fact that when it came to Lex, he was basically playing mind games with everybody, especially talking to Waller, talking to Bruce, talking to Clark, especially as the kryptonite started poisoning his head.
Yes, most definitely. That's a good point. And at that point, Cyber, I'll ask you, the banter overall across the span of the film. I don't know you, and all I meant by earlier by my comment was that, like, I usually like to think, folks, that me and Cyber are kind of the same page with DC, but I don't know for sure. So he may have seen stuff sometimes I don't even know about. So for me, Cyber, I just, you know, I figure you probably didn't watch the TV series either that preceded it and whatnot, and hadn't seen that and saw them interacting together like this. I didn't see it. Did you come into this like I did, and kind of this was your first time kind of catching them DC animated style, hanging out, partnering together?
Yes, this is most definitely. I mean, okay.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the bantering was great, and I loved it. I thought it worked really well with both of them and showed how they could make a really good team. And it just was, I thought, really well animated, too, as well. Their expressions, their talking, and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was really well done.
No, and Kyle, their banter is very unique, isn't it? Compared to especially with Batman, I think. The way he talks, and Superman, they talk differently and interact differently than I've ever seen them interact with any other characters.
Because I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, I think there is kind of a mutual respect between Batman and Superman, especially in this story. But there's also that a little bit of different view things going on, which adds to the way they can banter back and forth. I think also it translates really well in this film, especially because you are using Kevin Conroy as Batman, Tim Daly as Superman. They have this established connection from all the years of doing things within the Bruce Timm DC animated universe with the Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, and that just carries over, and that chemistry is there, and I think it makes that they know how to. It feels like it's just natural conversation there, and when you have two voice actors who are familiar with each other, and that being able to have that back and forth, it really adds to what you're at, the dialogue that's existing for this film, and I think you don't get better than Kevin Conroy as Batman, so.
And Johnny, right before we go into our next part, the actual trap setup of Luther, when we get, like Metallo involved and all that, and we get that kind of setup. Just as far as the banter goes, Johnny, from your perspective, do you feel like that the respect that they have for each other, Batman and Superman, maybe comes through the fact that, and the way that they're able to even like be comedic with each other and kind of like bust each other's balls a little bit, like, and it is funny. It has to do with with the fact that even though they maybe don't see things perfectly eye for eye, they like that about each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's already been established in the comics. And like I said, from the banter and how they are very comfortable with each other, they've been friends for years at this point. Heck, maybe even decades.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, and hey, you know what? That's a good point. And I think that it's for me, I know I can connect to that because I love it when I meet people that, maybe we don't agree with 80% of things. But if we agree on 20% of the things, and those happen to be core things, like, liking to get laid, right? And drinking coffee, enjoying coffee, whatnot, then we usually end up being really good friends. Yes, that was like a lame attempt at humor right there, guys. I apologize. As Cyber's yawning as a reaction. Thank you, Cyber. So, what a surprise, right?
You're welcome.
Yeah, right, it's fries, right? After the freaking kryptonite, meteors coming and whatnot and everything and all that. And, basically Luther doesn't want to ask the superheroes for aid. He's going to destroy it with nukes. Basically he arranges this meeting, right, with Superman on good terms. Supposedly, wanting to enlist him, I guess, into his ranks or onto the team or asking for help. Either way. And Supes believes him, shows up, and it's a setup from jump. And so, of course, we get Metallo in there. And the only reason I'm looking over here and whatnot is, guys, just because of the character names and whatnot, and the fact that I'm not as familiar with them as some of you might be. So I have to look once in a while and whatnot and everything and remind myself of who these people are. I never saw Metallo until now. So this is my first time. So either way, they meet, in Gotham City, where... which looks as usual Gotham looks, right? Dark, shadowy, rainy at times. And it's going to be a truce type deal. Ends up being a battle. And, Metallo pops up and whatnot, everything. And look, real quick, Kyle, Metallo, what is his gist exactly? What does he have going on that makes him such a...
Well, with Metallo, because he's had different origins and different retellings a lot, but the main gist of with Metallo is his biggest threat to Superman is he's powered by kryptonite, and so that makes him a huge threat to Superman in that aspect. I would kind of call him maybe not, I would call him like a B-level Superman villain, where he's not what you would call an absolutely huge threat to Superman, but whenever they've used him just smart enough and well enough to make him feel like he can stand up to the Man of Steel. But as far as like, you know, I would put, you know, like Luthor, Darkseid, Doomsday as the A-list Superman type villains. I put Metallo kind of at that B-list, that as far as like power level and what he really is a threat to Superman.
Well, he's a hired gun, so in the right, isn't he basically? Yeah, there you go. So he's a hired gun.
For Luthor. Well, everybody's a hired gun for Luthor at this point.
Yeah, no, you're right. In this film, I meant he's a hired gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they have a quick battle. I always say quick because everything's quick in this film, kind of. And so it's good, though. Good action, great animation with the action scenes, I thought, throughout the film. This one was great. And he does look like he can really stand his ground as Superman there for a minute. I think he injures both of them, doesn't he? Batman and Superman end up kind of somewhat harmed, like the physically actually like fucked up off of like the whole, you know, showdown. A unknown assailant pops up and kills him, right? Like, kills Metallico. We don't know who it is. I knew right there. I'm like, oh god, this has to be Luthor, right? Who else would have done it? There wasn't Supes or Batman. So, you know, from there, basically, that's how we get into the sewers, as Johnny mentioned. Batman and Superman sort of retreating to kind of like figure out where they want to go with things from that point. And Luthor then popping up again, using the media and his office to essentially indict, right, Superman, essentially Batman, you know, and blame them basically for the death, and lie about the meeting and whatnot. You know, he'd already publicly announced the truce type deal and whatnot and everything. So, I mean, there's no one to know what happened. And basically, you know, it's basically Luthor. I love Luthor in this. I think it was really good. Really good telling of him. Showed him with some real strength, in that position that he's in. But right there, he's basically using trickery, doing his usual dirty tricks, Luthor shit. And I think even at that point, he even starts for the first time in the film getting into his whole "I hate Superman" deal. You know, I still want to kill Superman. You know, his whole usual spiel. But he says it more profoundly than that, of course. So, at that point, basically, we get some of that really solid banter, like I talked about, where, you know, in the sewer, they're talking, they're going back and forth, they're mending their wounds, and basically, essentially, at that point, like I said, national television, Luthor pins Metallo's murder on Superman, alters the footage of it and everything and whatnot, and everything to implicate him, basically claims that the kryptonite radiation can affect Superman's judgment or whatever, I guess, or something. It puts a $1 billion bounty on Superman. That's a lot of money. Hey, here to you too. It's a dog. Okay. Sorry about that, Johnny. That's a good bark, man. That was almost at Tiffy level, Cyber. Batman and Superman, like, they break into Star Labs. Now, Star Labs is Kyle. Is Star Labs the same one that Cyborg's father was at?
Yes.
Star Labs is kind of like the ultimate playground for DC science, whether it's good or bad, because it seems like they kind of just make it to whatever they need Star Labs to be at the time.
Oh yeah.
Is there an MCU version of that? I can't think of one really.
Not even MCU, Avengers Smashing.
Marvel,
or Hank Pym?
Okay, yeah.
I would say maybe Project Pegasus.
Okay.
Or Sword.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sword and more. We'll see more about Sword when Secret Invasion kicks around.
No, I just mean for the fact that it's a consistent trope. That's all. You know what I'm saying?
I would say it's probably like Project Pegasus is probably your closest.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. No, so they find Metallico's body, remains. I apologize if that's the right way to say it.
Metallo.
Metallo. Why? How did I say it?
Metallico.
Did I call it that?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's going on history, Cyber. That's it there, bro. Sorry about that, Johnny. Thank you, man. You just gave me another good idea for another inside joke. We got...
It's the metallic version of a calico.
This one, that's right up with Alan's Dance with a Wolf or whatever fucking what he tries to pronounce Dance with Wolves. So basically, they check out Metallo's remains, and they realize or discover that the radioactive energy blast killed them, and it was made to look like Superman's heat vision. And that's when, like, all the villains start coming out of nowhere. And some of the best ones, too, I think, for me, like, that I've seen before, to come in to get that bounty, baby. $1 billion, right? And they're lining up, and we're right back in the action again. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I thought this was a great scene. Again, really well animated. You guys can say what you think of the animation, but I'll go around to you if you want to address it.
One thing that confused me about that fight scene is how the heck Gorilla Grodd got to Mongol.
Well, I just thought it was kind of a weird combination of them myself, but that's...
No, I'm just saying, you got a man from World War who's usually not on Earth, and you have Gorilla Grodd mind-controlling this dude. That's what I always wonder. Like, how the heck did he even get to
MODOK. World War? MODOK told him. MODOK reached out to him, and he was like, I'm not a dick anymore, and this. There you go. Anyways. So, sorry about that, folks. Inside joke. Well, it's not an inside joke. It's just a funny joke to me, anyway. Yeah, it was MODOK on that one. But no, a good point, though, Johnny. I think it's a really good point. So we get this, you know, this whole interesting, really, like fight where we get to see Supes and Bats just, like, you know, getting after it with all these villains. And, of course, we end up with, basically, I guess, they're not, like, a team. They're just, like, all kind of individually there. Like, wanting, you know, I don't think they're even really working together necessarily, trying to get the bounty. And, you know, of course, Superman and Batman are beating their asses and shit, whatnot, and everything. And that's when, of course, Captain Atom ends up popping in. He defeats the rest of them, like, with a huge blast. The whole, Luther superhero squad, whatever you want to call it, his own little Avengers pops up, right? And from there, we basically end up with more, like, you know, skirmish and shit and whatnot. Because, except Power Girl, pardon me, they have, like, kind of a back and forth again about, who's really, like, supports America, right? Like, they get political, they do, Cyber. They're like, you're traitors, you're treasonous, essentially. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I work for the fucking president, right? Like, when he gives me orders, I follow them. I mean, that's not word for word, but that was kind of like the sentiment from Captain Atom, I thought. Basically at that point, they, like, I guess they're, I guess, trying to basically, like, capture them. Which, I mean, it's kind of stupid, to be honest with you, but basically, Superman kind of, like, creates a twister in their little battle. And, like, uses his, I guess, like, his quickness or his super speed or something. And they manage to escape with Power Girl. What I believe I was mentioning about with except Power Girl is that I don't think that she was really wanting to engage with them in the battle, if I remember correctly. No, she didn't want to participate.
No.
She was kind of neutral. So, Kyle, since your time's short, real quick, who did we get all together in that out of that enemy group?
It's a hodgepodge of DC villains, and I can't recall all of them.
Johnny, you can help out too, brother. What you got?
The only villain on that team that I remember was Major Force, because he was a captain. Yeah. He was a Captain Atom villain. Same powers. He was the only villain per se, because if you remember, when Major Force turned against them, they all tried to work together to maintain the nuclear explosion that Power Girl caused.
Now, out of the villains, though, the actual villains that go for the bounty, right?
Oh, you had Solomon Grundy, Killer Frost, Mr. Freeze, Gorilla Grodd, Shade, you had a few other ones, Captain Cold. That's about, you had a bunch of other ones, like Beastie Listers.
I've got, No, go ahead, Kyle.
No, I mean that was the whole thing with both with this movie and this and the comic that it's based off of, was it was so fast paced, and it was just like, how many faces can we throw in here? And you know, when you get the hero show up, and you've got like Cassim Adam, who they've always portrayed him as kind of like, you know, sometimes he just follows the leader and doesn't really question things for himself. He's the military man. And I always find it interesting whenever DC pulls out Major Force, especially in this time period, because Major Force was a pretty controversial figure for a good while, thanks to certain actions he had in the Green Lantern comic book back in the 90s.
Hey, okay. Now, also, I think I did kind of skip on something I think that's important, too. That's the fact that we do get to see, you know, Superman and Batman at that point. Before any of that, they do go back to Wayne Manor, I believe, don't they? And we do get Alfred, and he has, like, what, like a 12-gauge or something like that and whatnot, like, ready to rock? That was awesome. And he's voiced, of course, by Alan Oppenheimer in the film. And it was very quick. There wasn't, there wasn't much of him, but I just thought it was really cool to see him in there, you know? Good insertion. At that point, you know, you guys tell me, Kyle, what'd you think, you know, fill out anything I left out if you want to put in, but what'd you think of all the action that they kind of threw at us with all that and whatnot? And what did you think of the fact that, you know, Batman and Superman then do become public enemies?
Well, I think it was everything they did, and again, seeing the film and having read the comic, the whole idea of this movie and of this was to give you Superman, Batman action from the start to the beginning, from the beginning to the end, and you really get that. And like I said, they come up with some of the most oddball matchups you can get, both Superman, Batman taking on DC villains and DC heroes in this as well. And I think it because of how it's paced, because this is a very this movie is only an hour and 7 minutes long, and the comics, I think the original comic was a 6-issue miniseries, which you can get in a trade paperback, but it reads fast. This movie flies by fast because it is mostly action, and it was designed to really start pulling people back into DC animation, and I think it hits that spot because it's fast paced, but it's a tight story. It's a good story, and they did a great job with casting their voice actors, getting some familiar faces. Clancy Brown is amazing as Lex Luthor in this as well, but the fight scenes are well done. The animation style is incredible. I mean, to me, this is one of the best things in the modern DC animated era that they have done, because as far as translating a actual comic book storyline to animation, because I think they stayed pretty faithful to it throughout. They made a few adjustments here and there, but for the most part, it stayed faithful. And they wrote it out well, and it's a phenomenal film.
Okay, excellent. Johnny Point, sir.
Honestly, I agree. I mean, they made it really great, especially Clancy Brown. I mean, you had what, everybody from the animated series and the Justice League come back to voice their respective characters. So again, it was really good voice acting and everything else. Personally, one of my favorite things about this film is the fact that they kind of brush over a lot of the unnecessary stuff that was in the comic. Like, Kyle, you remember all that stuff, like the mystery and all that stuff in the beginning.
Yeah, they threw the mystery, you had the mystery, some mystery angles and things like that. And it's the perfect comic. It really is the perfect comic to translate into this. It works so well. And I'm just going to throw this out here, because they did a second Superman versus Batman based off of that classic Superman Batman with the Supergirl storyline, and I thought that they did a great job with that too. But yeah, as far as this one goes, it's phenomenal. And like I said, to match the Ed McGuinness art style, to match the story that they did a phenomenal job with it. But I just want to say a quick bye, guys, because I got to pull out because I got some work stuff I got to take care of. But thanks for letting me pop in, give my thoughts real quick, and glad to be on the bleeding edge and drop some knowledge.
No, most definitely. I appreciate that, Kyle. It was good to see you again, man. Good to have you on the show so many times in like the last 2 months, man.
Not a problem. Jeff, always good to be on. Johnny, good to see you. Cyber, good to see you. Thanks to all the viewers and listeners out there, too. We will catch you guys later.
True believers, baby.
You too, Kyle.
Peace out. Peace. We love you. Anyways, and Cyber, don't worry, brother. Do not be trepidatious. I promise. I got you, man. No, but Johnny Fuent, again, the pace of the film, right? It's just, I mean, you know, the even the action scenes are like real tight, right? Like, I mean, they make up, I think, the dearth of the film, don't they? It really is action.
Oh, yeah. That's what this comic was.
Yeah, no, and that's great. And I'm glad that you have that to give us, Johnny. I really do, because honestly, folks, I want to just point out that to credit Johnny, he knows, and I want to put it out there publicly, I asked him to come on the panel, not just because he's our friend and whatnot. He's a great creator and whatnot, and he's a great, you know, on the guest, solid contributor. He has that background knowledge with these characters and these villains and whatnot from the comics I don't have. You know what I'm saying? And Cyber, I think, doesn't really have either. You know what I mean? We don't follow DC Comics, really. We're more Marvel. So that's hence the MCU's Bleeding Edge. And so at that point, having people like Johnny here, especially Johnny himself, that has that wealth of knowledge, he really makes it just me more comfortable trying to moderate the show and whatnot. If we had six people on without him, you know, or Kyle here or somebody, whatever, or Ben, when he goes back, it just, you know, it's tough for me a little bit and whatnot. I can't connect, I guess, on a personal level. I haven't read that any of the comics. So thank you, Johnny. We really appreciate you. We appreciate you, and I appreciate you being able to back me up, man. You know, and I hope that you feel appreciated.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not used. I wouldn't do that to you, baby. No, so you tell me, is this pretty accurate to the comic book storyline? I mean, considering, you know, again, this is a translated animated film version.
They follow it pretty well. Like I said, they just did away with the unnecessary mystery parts that was in the beginning of the issue. So, I mean, for nothing, they translated and got the girth of everything out.
Okay, was there ever anybody bitching about the freaking lack of comic history at all with any of the DC animated films?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, it was really good. The only DC animated film I could say that was terrible because it didn't follow the comic line and it showed was Injustice.
Okay.
I mean, that's because, so you had five books of Injustice and they try to cram everything down into one movie. And introduce characters that were not in the original Injustice film. That's the only one I would say that people were really complaining about. For good reason.
Okay, most definitely. And so, Cybernetic Shark, go to you, sir. Your thoughts? The action scenes? The animation with them? Up to par? As what we saw so far?
I absolutely loved the action in this film. I loved the animation. I absolutely loved everything about this film. I think it's absolutely spectacular. The fight sequences were so well done. I love how all those different villains came out of nowhere. We had got Grundy. We got, you know, Killer Frost. We got, you know, it looked like Mr. Cold was there too as well. I mean, we had a ton of characters that were just, it was like so cool to see. And then I think that this was probably, I feel, the most suggestive of the females cartoon animation. I felt most definitely was this one. I was like really surprised. I'm like, oh, okay. And, but this was just so well drawn, and the voiceovers were really great. I loved Tim Daly as Superman. I loved Kevin Conroy voicing Batman in this. Clancy Brown voicing Lex Luthor in this, which he did a fantastic job. Anybody knows who Clancy Brown is, he does the voice of Mr. Krabs and SpongeBob SquarePants. He's known through a whole bunch of films over the years too. He was in The Shawshank Redemption as one of the guards in the film, and he just is awesome. And I think he did a great job as Lex Luthor. And I thought this was it. That whole action sequence was just so awesome, especially when, you know, Superman has to fight the robotic guy there that has the kryptonite in his chest, which was really awesome. Metallo, thank you. And just all the action was so fantastically done in this. Really enjoyed it. Really great A. Just really well done. Really enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy the villain team that they got thrown at for the bounty?
Oh yeah.
I mean, not the team, but who they put together.
Oh yeah, it was like I said, all the villains that popped up in that whole sequence there, you know, fighting Superman, fighting Batman, were just awesome. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was a great way to incorporate a lot of characters into one film, right? And like really give us a lot of DC, you know, across the board, villains, heroes, people we haven't even seen in the DC animated films at all, really at all. You know what I mean? Like now they're here. And again, I'm behind, Johnny. I need to go watch that TV series, bro. And I will. But as we progress, now, of course, the missile's still heading to, you know, the kryptonite meteor is still heading to Earth, right? Like, that's still going down. The clock's kind of ticking on that. And basically, you know, when we get to Metropolis, you know, Power Girl, like, kind of just says flat out that, like, she doesn't believe Superman killed Metallo. And she doesn't trust Luthor. Right? I like Power Girl in this movie. I did. I really liked her. I mean, not just because she sided with Supes and Bats, but just in general, I thought she was dope. And either way, you know, essentially, I guess again, Lex's Avengers team, his superhero team, they catch up, to the trio. There's another fight. Power Girl this time actually contributes and aids Batman and Superman. She becomes part of the team almost. And they kind of come to the conclusion, I guess, that Major Force killed Metallo. Due to Luthor's orders, though. Again, not, you know what I'm saying? I don't think, you know, being told to do it, I believe, if I understood. And, you know, they, you know, kind of mind plays him or fucks with him into getting him into admitting it in front of the whole group, like everybody, the whole squad, so that they all hear it, right? That, you know, Luthor directed it, right? The hit. And that was very important, I thought, like, you know, because at that point, you know, well, you know, first of all, you know, Major Force, like, loses it, tries to kill him, basically, right? You know, tries to basically, essentially. Power Girl punches his ass hard enough to, like, fucking break his suit, right? And, like, fracture his suit, whatever, whatnot, and all that. Releasing his radiation, you know? And Captain, it was dope. Captain Adam, I guess he had kind of sucked it up or sort of absorbed the energy or whatever, right? And, like, I'm not sure, was he the only person there, Johnny, that was capable of even doing that?
Yeah, Black Lightning, the only thing he was able to do was contain it.
Yeah.
For just a short time, but yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you know, Major Force gets, like, essentially, like, almost blasted into incineration almost, right? And left, like, I guess, like, in a coma or something, essentially, or comatose or vegetable state. Essentially, moving on, the initial missiles fall due to the meteor, the kryptonite's radiation that the kryptonite, like, gives off, which kind of just essentially, like you've seen in other films, it almost, like, you know, just blows them all up. It detonates them before they can actually reach their patented target. So Waller now, again, walks right in and sees Luthor just, like, straight, not even hiding it, that he's, like, juicing, right? Like, beyond juicing. He's, like, triple juicing. And he's, like, proud of it and everything and whatnot. He's like, yeah, baby, it's just dope. It's giving me this real, real deep clarity and everything and whatnot, right? I'm loving it. And, of course, it has to involve kryptonite, too, because it's Luthor. So there's got to be kryptonite, too. It can't just be, like, steroids. Johnny, was there something specific about that cocktail? I mean, the serum or whatever and whatnot that he figured out to come up with and whatnot and everything? Was that just, like, a whole mix of different shit?
No, it was just kryptonite. I mean, that was basically it. I mean, in the comics and even the TV shows, Kryptonite had always messed with his mind.
Does Kryptonite, does it increase your strength like regular steroids do and shit like that and all that? Make you...
No, but the way he had it made, I think he edited it, and not to mention it allowed him to power his suit, which was made out of Kryptonite.
Yes, 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 of course, the suit. That's right. So he wasn't actually juicing then. I got it. All right.
It was affecting his mind, though.
It was, yes. That's true. Which you would think that that kind of radiation would occur with that. No, so basically at that point, she walks in. She doesn't like all that, right? And like, no. And essentially, you know, she sort of, she's already was suspicious. And at that point, like, she doesn't, I think just probably watching him inject himself with some shit in general kind of just turns her off. I felt like, anyway, not knowing that much about Waller. You know, but then when she finds out that he's actually been taking the serum for a long time consistently, that I think really kind of freaks her out. And she kind of detects right there that he's off. And they do now say, though, honestly, in the description, Johnny, that there is strength-enhancing steroids in the cocktail.
Oh, I guess he might have edited the Kryptonite, because, I mean, when it came to his fight with Superman, it was powered by everything.
Yeah, no, it says it's mixed. It's all turned together into the serum. So he is, like, more jacked physically, too, in general. Maybe for, like, vanity reasons, I don't know. It might have to do with fighting. Either way, you know, Waller, you know, at this point, you know, Waller knows of, and I don't know that much about this person, but there is someone out there that's capable, essentially, right? I believe of, you know, stopping the meteor.
Japan.
And in Japan, yes, he's a kid. Now, of course, you know, Lex doesn't want anything to do with it. You know, and he kisses Waller. Which is, I thought they were going to actually have sex. I did. But they didn't, it didn't go that far. He just kissed her. That really, I think, threw Waller off. I think that also kind of, like, maybe helped her, like, grasp that he was not right. Right, you know what I'm saying? That he was not acting normal. Like, that he would, you know, his actions were kind of out of control. And at that point, basically, you know, Luther just tells Waller straight up that he's going to let the meteor hit the earth and rebuild society in his own image. And, like, obviously at that point, that's just, like, you know, straight up fucking insane. So Waller at that point, it's obvious that she's like, okay, you know. Oh, Johnny, you got to go, man? No problem, man. You need help? Yeah, we'll let you go, brother. No, that's fine, man. If family or friends are not... No, you're in a bad spot. If they're in a bad spot, you got to go help them, brother. No problem, brother. We'll see you later, all right?
All right, see ya.
All right, take it. Anyways, we're sorry to lose Johnny, folks. That's okay, though. Johnny's got, like, a family emergency friend kind of thing going on and whatnot and all that and everything. And he's a good man, so I don't blame him for wanting to handle his business and whatnot and shit. And we totally understand that over the Bleeding Edge, don't we, Cyber?
Mm-hmm.
We help our friends and our family and whatnot, and that's what we do. Like I said, you know, Luther's all over the place at that point. He's fucking insane, basically. I've never even seen Luther talk like that before. I've never seen him in anything I've seen him talking about like that shit. Wanting to kill Superman, like, and dreaming about it every night, like, all the shit he says and everything and whatnot. I wake up every morning wanting to fucking kill Superman and all this shit and whatnot. I think he even says something like that in the film, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like, something, and he always says something like that, but he says it very profoundly, usually. But yeah, at the same time, you can almost tell, like, the evilness drips off of him, right, when he talks. Like, it's just pure hatred, right? Yeah. And, like, even says at one point, like, I am evil or some shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or whatever. But I digress. So, you know, this combination of different bullshit with Waller, she ain't having it. And at that point, you know, when... you know, when Lex is like, I'm going to become Earth's single leader, like, you know, he's talking about some worldwide society, like, you know, leftist crap or whatever, whatnot, you know, global government type bullshit, with him being like essentially like Julius Caesar and shit. Right? He's gonna rock that out. At that point, you know, basically Batman and Supes battle Captain Marvel, which, hey, who knew? I didn't even know there was a Captain Marvel in the DC and in the MCU. How about that shit?
Yeah, Captain Marvel was Shazam before he became Shazam.
Oh, that's right. Before Shazam, he was Captain Marvel. I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, Captain Marvel? All right, so Shazam shows up. And the fact that Shazam and Hawkman pop up was dope as shit. Not just because, well, it's, I mean, not just because I saw Shazam in theaters and I saw Black Adam twice. I thought it was that good. Shazam, not so much. I actually asked for my money back on that one. I won't lie. I did. And of course, I didn't get it back, though, unfortunately. All I got was that goddamn gift card for fucking, you know, Dollar Tree or whatever, whatnot and shit, which I don't even, you know, I mean, come on now. What's up, Regal? What's up with that shit? No, but, anyway, sorry about that. Anyways, Shazam pops up, but Shazam's actually really good in this. He is. He's not like Shazam in the damn movie, the live-action movies. Nothing against that actor. I think he's a pretty dope guy. I do. But just don't think the movies were really all that well done. But Hawkman was dope, too. They throw down with Superman and Batman. Because as they're basically like, you know, trying to penetrate or attack Luthor's base of operations. And, you know, they want to find out what the hell's going on with the meteor. You know, so at that point, Luthor, like, you know, when they force him, right? Like, and he's under the gun, and they're like thinking, oh, like, you know, he'll let. I was thinking he's gonna at least even now, like, he's gonna snap out of it, and like, I'll be like, all right, here you go, here's the fucking codes, here's the information to get in the system. He's like, no, he tries to do a kill code to delete all his records and shit and whatnot. This is how crazy he is. And so at that point, Waller steps in and just like straight up, like, you know, gives them a copy of all of his data and shit and whatnot and everything. Then Batman and Superman and Power Girl go to Tokyo to deliver the data to Toy Man. That's who was there. Who'd already built, having already talked to Waller, he already built a giant rocket propelled spacecraft, right? That Batman's gonna end up flying, right? Intending to use it as a large missile to stop the meteor. Waller and the military attempt to arrest Luthor, but he ingests himself with more kryptonite steroids. Yeah, he basically, like, almost over D level, like, ingests himself with the shit. And gets even crazier and puts on his fucking crazy ass power suit and shit and whatnot, like Johnny said, that's fueled by kryptonite. Which I saw that coming, Cyber. Did you see that coming too?
100%.
Yeah, I was like, alright, I know it's coming next. Like, there's only really one thing he can do at this point. Like, he's got to put he's going to jump into some fucking vehicle or don a power suit or whatever, whatnot. It's going to be fueled by kryptonite.
Right.
Why else would kryptonite be the central fucking, like, one factor throughout the film that's a mainstay, always there? It's involved in, like, everything. Right? Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? It's tied, everything in the movie is tied to kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
In some way. And, like, every freaking battle, in some way, like, it's even involved.
Yep.
There's, like, some character that associates itself with kryptonite.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even Batman knows about kryptonite. That's the thing. Like, Johnny was saying and Kyle was saying, Batman knows all about kryptonite. All about it. Right? He's known about it for a long-ass time.
Yep.
Because he's been messing with Superman for so long. He's very aware of what it does to Superman. And of its abilities to kill Superman. And, you know, even in the Snyder version, what it can do. But no, so at that point, the movie kind of turns, because that's when the momentum kind of kicks in that, even though the public doesn't know yet, Batman and Superman are basically their public enemies, but they're the ones that are the heroes of the film, right? Like, not, you know, Luthor's team or everyone, not everything. They stand out and they end up, you know, being true, you know, being, you know, as they typically would be. And what I think is such a great combination for them, the fact that they do truly care about other people. They're selfless. They're real heroes, right? They're not selfish in what they do at all. You know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe they have their issues with what they do sometimes, whatnot, and everything, and they are not capable of having, you know, vulnerabilities with their character or emotionally or whatever. But at the end of the day, they're always about selflessness and willing to sacrifice and whatnot, everything for the overall good of society and the world. And you know, I think that's a really important trope, that, you know, an important aspect of their dynamic. And I want to believe their friendship, if you know, which I believe they have one. And I think you'd agree, right, Cyber?
100%.
Yeah. No, that's the Cyber. I'll ask you that. You know, because this is basically the end of the film. What kind of friendship do you think they have? At least at this point, whatnot, everything. Do you feel like, I mean, I don't think it, does Batman even really have a friendship with anybody other than Superman in the superhero community?
I mean, honestly, I don't think at least Batman wouldn't consider it a relationship. I think he would consider it a more of a partnership or a business adventure, whereas Superman probably would think of it as a friendship. But definitely, I mean, there are other characters I feel that have had relationships in DC Comics that are either heroes or villains or something like that to a degree. They've done that with TV shows and so forth and stuff like that. But at this point, when this came out, I feel that wasn't a very common thing. So I think this movie proved that that's a very good possibility.
And you know what? That's the other thing, too, is that there's just so much going on. You know, we're talking about, you know, this movie came out in what, 2009, 2010?
Yep.
So there you go. Like, you know, so much there in the comics before that point. You take a lot to take into consideration, you know, in terms of, like, me defining it as a friendship. But either way, again, the movie, the ending is somewhat predictable at that point. I mean, it is pretty much kind of like, it's still good. I don't want to say that it does anything to affect the overall film for me at all, but it is kind of a letdown for me. It was, in terms of like how well the film was going for me, it did kind of just sort of like not fizzle out, but it was a little bit less than what I saw from the up to it, I guess. Basically at that point, you know, when Luthor basically dons the suit and everything and whatnot that's fueled by kryptonite, with, you know, kryptonite weaponry as well, of course, and he escapes while in the military, he follows Supes and Batman overseas, intending to kill Superman. And basically, you know, essentially, at that point, when Supes and, you know, and Batman get to, you know, Toyman's lab, they grasp and realize that, you know, well, for one thing, it resembles a giant robot composite version of Superman and Batman, which is dope. But, and with the data that they give him, it creates reinforcements so they'll not explode before impact. And Luthor arrives, unfortunately, neutralizes Power Girl, Superman and Batman, and disables the rocket's remote guidance system. So that's why Batman's forced, a la sort of like, you know, the third film in the Batman trilogy, you know, is forced, essentially, right, to jump in and, you know, manually guide the missile, which it has a capability to do. That's something that's an option. So right there, basically, you know, Batman jumps in, and, you know, essentially, takes off, and, you know, he flies himself, he destroys the meteor, and returns to Earth in the escape pod. What a surprise, what a shock. Batman did not die, upon doing it, because that would have been, he'd be dead, and no, Batman's not good for DC, so, right, unless it's the fucking Batman, the Val Kilmer Batman, or the Clooney one. Or Jim Carrey, Riddler. Wouldn't have minded him being in there. But no. So the film kind of ends with, it's not surprising, like, you know, with essentially, you know, the world finding out the truth of what was going on, you know, and essentially, you know, although they don't do all that well in the fight, you know, Supes, even though Supes, when he fights, you know, Luthor in his suit, he's sort of not even 50-50. It's more like 70-30 with him and whatnot, right? He is overpowered. He is able to disable Luthor's suit. And again, the suit is all Luthor's power has. That's all it is. It's a kryptonite and the suit. Without that, he's just Luthor. So, you know, that's all he has to do with it, is eventually disable the suit. And, you know, he's then apprehended by Captain Adam and the team, because now they're down with the cause. Why wouldn't they be? They understand what the hell's going on now. And, you know, at that point, the media, you know, reports the truth, right? And people celebrate. Yay! They raise their arms and everything and whatnot, and celebration and shit and whatnot. It's very kumbaya-ish and all that. Superman drops some crazy fucking dope-ass line, like, your ass is impeached, or whatever, to Luthor, like, knocks his ass out, or whatever, doesn't he, Cyber?
Yep.
Yeah, which I thought was fucking dope, so dope. You never see that in a national film. I don't think, but it was dope there. Cool to see Superman, all people, actually be, like, a badass for once. And, like, toss some shit. Either way, Superman gets cleared of the charges, the death of Metallo, you know, the true story is announced by the media. Luthor gets arrested and faces trial and is impeached for his crimes. Batman goes back to Gotham, and then finally at the end, Lois Lane arrives to, like, you know, embrace Superman. End credits. So, Cyber, I'm giving this bitch a... I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
What do you think?
I give it a solid 10.
Oof. Okay. Well, that's not...
I loved it.
I should have said woof on that. That's only 2.5 difference.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? That's great. You loved it. Why did you love it, sir?
Well, like I said earlier, because just the nonstop action throughout it, all the different villains they showed and characters, the animation was phenomenal, the soundtrack was phenomenal, and the voice cast was just really well done. This just, like, from the get-go, as soon as I started watching it, I was drawn in and absolutely loved everything about it. It's a fantastic film.
Yes, I think that's very well said. And good job on that, Cyber. Way to be very, really concise and tight with your actual, like, you know, response to that, because that's a big question, right? So, like, you know, that's one that you could go on for a minute. But then again, it's very action-packed. There's very little character arc kind of stuff. There's no real little character arc in this, growth in this at all. This isn't that kind of film.
Nope.
Or DC animated film. They're not even trying to go with all that. If you don't go in having some concept of the comics or something, right, having watched any of the TV series and whatnot, or any knowledge at all, you're not going to even know what the hell's going on with some of this stuff. Or really even grasp some of the weight of, like, some of the things that happen, or the banter with Superman and Batman. You wouldn't even know why it's interesting, or why it's funny or distinct and whatnot, right, if you don't understand the characters a little bit more. Yeah. But I guess to get out of here, folks, because the Cyber and I are at a deadline. We've been invited to another $500,000 free crack all night party with Tyrone Biggins. So we're on the clock, baby, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't be fucking Tyrone over a ghost in his ass. You know, these parties are very rare, and you know, even $500,000 of crack disappears very quickly. All right. So, you know, at that point, at that point, you consume so much crack, you have to buy more crack. As we explained before, this is not good. These are not good things. All right. We don't, you know, so either way, sorry, make sure we're early. Right. And we get our itinerary straight for the crack party. Right. It's going to be occurring in Daytona Beach, party. Bitch. Yeah. In Daytona Beach, baby, of all places. That's what it's going to be. Yeah, meeting Tyrone at the beach. Yep. Right? And seeing Batman at the same time, too. On crack.
On crack.
Batman's played at the crack party.
Exactly.
They're really moving up, Cyber.
They so are.
I'm telling you. From Japan to fucking crack house.
Yep. And Tyrone.
Could you imagine actually being the band that plays at the $500,000 free crack party?
That would be crazy. That'd be hilarious.
Which band is even down for that? I don't even know. Who would know?
Who knows?
Back in the 80s, pretty much any band.
Yeah.
Anyways, folks, so no. Look, folks, seriously, if you have not caught us live before, you've got to come live. Come catch us live this weekend. Because on Friday, we're doing Super Troopers. Cyber's moderating. We're reviewing another regular movie of our, you know, Bleeding Edge review series. And we're doing it remote at Rockville, baby, in Daytona Beach. And I've never even done a remote show before. Cyber, you haven't either, have you?
No. Nope.
Yeah, you have. Well, you tried before.
Yeah, tried to.
So it's going to be interesting. And me and Cyber are going to kick it and whatnot and have a good time. And so when if our shit's fucked up or whatever, like if we look a little professional, or if our lighting is shitty or whatever, whatnot, just blame it on the alcohol, baby. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Or she who cannot be named. Right? There you go. But no, folks. So no, seriously, though. Like we're going remote. All right, Bleeding Edge remote like shows this weekend going down. And on Sunday, I am going to be kicking some ass on the first part of our Mandalorian Season 3 breakdown and recap, which I've never done a season breakdown and recap in my life, and I need something exciting and fun to do like that and whatnot to tackle, so I can't wait. We have a great panel. Jasmine's fucking crazy ass will be back, so can't wait to see her again. Who knows what kind of bullshit she'll be talking. She'll probably say some stupid shit at some point and piss me off, but it's okay. So anyway, Saturday Night Shark, thank you, sir. As always, for being here, appreciate it. Even though you're the co-host anyway, but I still appreciate it, right? Either way, double appreciated, baby.
No problem.
Shout out to Cyber's wife, who I appreciate very much. You know, who I can stand and think is an awesome, cool person, and isn't the type to think that Captain America is a Jew. I don't think. I think that she would grasp logically that concept would not really work out very well or make any sense. But either way though, Jasmine, if you're out here, sweetie, I'm just fucking with you, hon. I love you. I'm sorry, I can never let you fucking go on that one. You're fucked pretty much forever. It's never going away. Just like she cannot be named, right, Cyber?
Exactly.
All right, folks. So we out of here. Basically, is my point. And next week. What? Wednesday, folks. Cyber, we're doing what? Fast 10.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Hey, we're changing it up. No DC animated. Next Wednesday, I think, what? 5:23. I think 5:24. We're going to be killing it. And actually reviewing a regular brand new movie, I think, for the first time that's not MCU related or DC related. It's going to be awesome. We're going to do Fast 10. And Friday, Starship Troopers. There you go. So, all right, let's get out of here. Cyber, you have any final thoughts, sir?
No, just can't wait to kick it down there. And it's going to be interesting to see just what crazy shenanigans we get into.
That's right. That's right, folks. As far as we're not going to worry about plugs or anything like that and whatnot, we've got more important things to worry about, like butt plugs and stuff like that, all that. So, that's right. So, we'll see you later. We love all of you very much. God bless you. Support the MCU's Bleeding Edge. Support the MCU in general. All right? Don't give up on them. And peace. We'll see you next time.
The hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep. Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?